Welcome to Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles. Throughout my work, I've highlighted the injustice and violent nature of the United States since its inception. I did this in order to grasp the magnitude of our current escalation of militarism and violence towards marginalized people and the earth. Changing the Narrative challenges status quo beliefs about the necessity of war and the impossibility of peace without the power of might. And now it seems we've all become marginalized and expendable people. My guest today is bringing to light the culmination of centuries of empire and its destructive nature to all living. Journalist Abby Martin and Mike Prisoner, an Iraqi war veteran, spent years researching, studying, and traveling the world to report on the effects of our military's massive carbon footprint. Their five-year endeavor culminated in the independent documentary Earth's Greatest Enemy. They exposed the Pentagon as the world's single largest institutional polluter. You may know of their work from their first documentary, Gaza Fights for Freedom. Earth's Greatest Enemy is heralded as an invaluable tool, urging us to change course away from militarism in order to save our planet. I'm very grateful to have Director Abby Martin in conversation. Thank you, Abby, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so I can't get over the reality of the exception of talking about the military in treaties. Can you start with that?
Yeah. this is something that I think people would be really alarmed by. Two things. Learning, first of all, that the United States military is the largest institutional polluter, meaning the largest consumer of fossil fuels on the planet. We're talking about 270,000 barrels of oil a day. And this is just to maintain the infrastructure of this military empire. Then you realize that none of the emissions from the US military are counted in any of these global climate treaties. And this has been an exemption that was laid by the Pentagon since the first ever climate treaty in Kyoto, Japan. So the Pentagon paved the way and all other countries followed suit. Now, when the Paris Accords happened in 2015, it became voluntary. So there was some pressure around this point. And everyone was like, well, we can voluntarily put our military missions if we want. But of course, under the pretense of national security and secrecy, this has been completely obscured from all of these national totals. And really, it makes all of these climate treaties a farce.
Yeah, it's really horrible thing. And I've read that you said our military is the greatest threat to all living things on Earth. And you base this on our carbon dioxide emissions, that it's more than 150 countries. And the other thing that really grabbed me was some of the most impacted from our militarism are the members of the military. And you specifically talk to the veteran LaVon Johnson. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I mean, we are all victims of military pollution and imperialism. And I really wanted to go into this project with my husband, who's an Iraq war veteran, empathizing with soldiers, active duty soldiers and veterans, because it's not them. They're not the enemy that we're talking about. We're talking about the Pentagon brass, the capitalists, the CEOs of these defense contractors who enforce this infrastructure at the barrel of a gun against the will of humanity. And so military members are sometimes the first victims of pollution. I mean, you go back to Agent Orange, the legacy contamination of nuclear radiation. These soldiers were test subjects unwittingly for just nuclear tests. And then, of course, chemical exposure, burn pits, all of them have been left to die. None of them have really been given proper health care. And there's such an egregious lack of accountability. I mean, just look at the 9/11 first responders. They're used as cannon fodder for propaganda. And then they're left to die. And so that's the story that we tell, is the Camp Lejeune story, the worst water contamination event in US history, bringing it back to the homeless epidemic with veterans on the streets. I mean, we open the film with the story of a homeless vet in LA, LaVon Johnson, who has nerve damage because of the chemical exposure in the army. He was actually in an army commercial which was really important, I think, because he was part of that propaganda machine. And then he was chewed up, spit out, left in the streets without healthcare, without anything. And then you see his tent being demolished. And it ties in how we are all Levon. We are all the Iraqi children poisoned with depleted uranium. We are them. They are us. None of this is contained. And I think when you're looking at the environmental catastrophe of US militarism, that's the most important point. Nothing is contained within these artificial borders. Everything impacts all of us on Earth.
Right. This is the very important thing to get across. I know we have munitions dumps here in the state of Wisconsin that organizations have been trying to get the government to get the military to clean up, and just years and years. And they're, like you, very diligent researchers and hardworking folk. So anything that we can do to educate people and make people think more about what's happening so that we can start to put the brakes on it. So one of the things that you talk about is the lies behind what's now being kind of known as the green military. Do you want to address that? I thought that was an interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. What's really amazing about this is as the consciousness expands, and as people are linking these issues together, like people like Greta Thunberg, for example, who, going on the flotilla, who was once this really famous climate activist, and linking these issues together that, hey, the genocide is important. This is an ecocide. This is directly impacting the environment. As this consciousness is burgeoning and exploding around the world, the Pentagon's acting accordingly, and they're responding with their own revisions of their propaganda matrix by saying, no, we're stewards of the environment. No, we actually do mitigation efforts to ensure that the sea turtles come back and hatch in Hawaii. And so they have these cartoonish measures where they have, a kid with binoculars being like, do you see a dolphin fin? If so, turn off the sonar. So they're very acutely aware of where this is going. They see the writing on the wall, and so they're trying to preempt the narrative by saying, we love the environment, we're a rule of law organization, we actually help maintain these ecosystems and habitats legally, which is completely false. But then you see the narrative being pushed by people like Elizabeth Warren, because in order to try to rehabilitate this empire and the machinery of empire, which has been championed by both parties for decades, because it is bipartisan, you see a faction of the establishment trying to protect and whitewash the military empire, like Elizabeth Warren, by saying, yes, they consume a lot of oil. It's not good. Let's just green them. Let's put solar powers on bases. Let's hybridize the Bradley fighting vehicles. But as we understand, there is no greening our way out of this. You cannot green a global military empire, because the global military empire is actually enforcing the fossil fuel infrastructure. It predicates and necessitates the extractivism, the continuous and endless pillaging of the planet. You can't green that. You have to dissolve and demilitarize and decommission that empire in order to have a habitable planet.
Right. This is such significant, important thing to consider, because there's like what, over 800 bases around the world that
Yes.
are ours that we're contaminating, and I know recently there's been some pushback, and some countries are actually saying, well, if you're going to play hardball, we'll just, they're kind of working with us. It's like, well, maybe we should eliminate some of these bases and everything that you're doing, everything that's part of that. So yeah, it's this educational thing that you're doing is critically important.
And that's the problem, is that the rest of the world's ready. They've been on this empire. They've been living under the boot of this military subjugation for decades, I mean, centuries, And so Americans are just so brainwashed and propagandized. And that's why movies like this, even though we exist in a landscape of over inundation of propaganda and false information, and there's no shortage of media, there's no shortage of influencers and media outlets. None of them are real. None of them are telling you what's really going on. None of them are doing the bare minimum job of holding power to account. I'm not saying none, but the vast majority are not. And movies like this kind of have an opportunity to get you out of your silos, really break that mold of propaganda and everything that's been set in stone and dictated to us, and just say, whoa, this is the truth. This is the reclamation of reality. We have been gaslit our whole lives. This is so to be confident and armed with the facts of what's right in front of our faces. There's a gentleman in the movie, Barry Sanders, who's a philosopher, who says something that sticks with me every time. He says, see what you see. Don't be duped. See what's right in front of your face. And I think when we look, when we're empire babies, we're children of the empire, and we look around, what's around us? We live in a militarized culture. We live in a culture that reveres this institution, that thinks that we have the ordained right to go and be the arbiter of human rights and democracy around the world while we're committing these heinous atrocities, subsidizing genocide, subjugating the planet. So it's this contradiction and
Yes.
inversion of reality that this movie really has an opportunity to really break. And that's why it's such a powerful and potent tool.
Yes. And okay, and you are a powerful and potent tool. So, because I'm with you on all of the media, kind of sleepwalking, through this. And part of me, I understand the ignorance. And I see that it's a lot of fear. So what gives you the courage? How do you keep going? Because and I know that voices like ours are definitely being examined very closely. Palantir has our files.
Yeah, indeed. And the thing about America is, yes, we're all surveilled. Yes, those of us who are doing this work, we know the risks and we know the costs. And the largest risk and cost is being completely marginalized and siloed off with having no platform and no voice and no funding. And that has been a detriment. And that has been a very big struggle my whole life. Fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, I was marginalized right from the get. Working for Russia Today, doing the work that I do. And so it's par for the course for me. I have never let it just, I mean, I've never let it stop me. And I just know I just have to persevere. And especially seeing our brothers and sisters in Gaza getting really hunted systematically, for literally just speaking the truth about their reality. How dare we not do the bare minimum? How dare we not speak our truth, speak the truth? And do what we can, which is we have the First Amendment here. We are luckier than Europe, the doormats of US imperialism that are folding down, bowing down, and acquiescing to Donald Trump and this kind of global fascist takeover. We still have rights. And you better hell know that I'm gonna practice those rights until they're dragging me off, kicking and screaming from my doorstep. So as long as I have my First Amendment, I'm gonna be it to the full extent.
Amen, sister. And I'll be kicking and being dragged along next to
We'll
you.
see you in the camp.
Yeah. And we'll sing and So this is where we've come, because I look at my generation, a little older than you, I'm sure a lot older than you. And I know that we kind of slept through a lot of this. I know we were very strong. In fact, this is an interesting thing. Vietnam, I was at the tail end of, and I was able to go and protest in DC and all of that. And then, so that anti-war fervor was there and it was growing. And then Earth Day happened. And when Earth Day happened, it sort of followed, it mimicked the anti-war, but it kind of left the anti-war behind. And what I see you doing is a lovely thing, because it's bridging that anti-war sentiment with that understanding of saving the environment. That was not there. We didn't want war, but we didn't understand fully what we do understand now. And there's so, and the thing about silos also that you talk about is critically important, because there's so many people who are fighting in their various places, like we have Line Five, Indigenous people, and others trying to fight that, and the cleaning up of the Badger munitions plant. And so to find a way to help us come together, and I think your movie can also do that. I think it can help inspire people to get out of their silos.
Thank you. And I think it's become so obvious, I think, especially watching Gaza and the ecocidal planetary destruction that's being committed in our names. It's been so obvious to watch this in 4K and have that consciousness be linked with the ICE, increased militarization of police in our streets, the executions of our brothers and sisters here, just like Palestinians. And so it's been this kind of moment where people are like, oh my God, this is coming here to roost. And environmentally speaking too, I mean, no particulate and like it is bordered, right? So everything that's happening in Gaza is going to flood all of us in the entire planet. And to your point, there was this foundation of the consciousness back in the 60s and 70s. There was this rooted understanding that capitalism was driving this inequity and this destabilization. And then, of course, neoliberalism comes along and captures and co-ops and defangs all of these movements and energy, and the environmental movement just somehow became its own thing that was abstracted from war and militarism and capitalism. And so for the longest time, we've been rightfully pointing at oil corporations, the barons who are the big polluters, without looking at the actual system that's enforcing them, that's giving them the leeway, that's enriching the pockets and coffers of the oil barons. And so I think it's time. I think it's time. And it's catalyzing and synthesizing things at just the right moment, because Trump has come in and just completely nakedly spelled it out. We're getting the oil. We're going to go steal the resources.
Yeah,
You
he's
know, I
not.
mean, the Bush administration at least trying for a year to pretend like it was about WMDs. It was like we knew it was about oil, but now
Right.
it's really obvious.
That's really amazingly true. And the whole militarization of our police. I was at Standing Rock for a
Oh, wow.
considerable time, and
Yeah.
I watched that happen. I watched the water tanks and the L rods and the, all of it was there. And militarized police, with their masks and batons, and I would try to tell people, because that was 10 years now,
Yeah, oh my
this is
God.
coming. Yeah, 10 years, this is coming. This is what's happening. And people are like, no, Dina, you can't be right. And I'm like, eh, if they can do it. And that was under Barack Obama.
Exactly.
And that it's like, try to get people, it's like, will you please snap out of it?
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think the timing is really good. That's why I was really excited to have you come on and reading. I haven't gotten to see the movie yet, unfortunately, but I'm
Goodness
hopeful.
gracious. You gotta see it.
Oh, of course I will.
Yeah.
I have to. I live in the middle of nowhere on a farm, and I have to travel quite a bit to.
Yeah.
But it's worth it, and I really want. And this is going to go out to. This will go out in our little town of Viroqua, which is in the little Vernon County. But it will also go out to the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice, which is like 93 organizations and growing, because we're stepping out of the silo. And the Wisconsin Network has been around since the Iraqi War. They started people. I wasn't here then. I wasn't here, but people came together, and then it's grown to encompass a lot of different things, a lot of different organizations doing different things, the environment, and I keep saying, we're all doing the same thing. Let's work together. And I know you were just up in, I believe, Ashland on one of your tours, right? You met the Grandmothers for Peace. They're part of the network. That's how they were
Amazing.
like, Dina, interviewer, interviewer. And I'm like, okay.
Amazing.
So that's how this is happening. And, if we can keep growing that understanding and get more people to be aware and see your film,
Yeah,
then that's.
exactly. Incorporating anti-imperialism, I think, is really paramount here. And that's kind of where we need to really generate that big tent approach. It just the approach of international solidarity with the global South, the recipients and that are on the receiving end of the system, and of course understanding that it is going to all come home, and that we're all going to be victims of it. But we can't leave anyone out to dry. We can't throw anyone under the bus. Venezuela, Cuba, Palestine, all of their liberation's intrinsically tied to ours, and we have to draw a line in the sand, and we have to withhold our labor. I mean, we have activist fatigue. We've been in the streets for years protesting under Biden, a genocide under Biden. You know, I heard someone say, this sums it up perfectly. If your fundamental human rights are on the chopping block every 2 to 4 years, that's not a party problem. That's a system problem. And these people have proven time and again they're not going to fight for democracy. They're not going to fight for our rights. They're not going to fight for the environment. We have to really start creating alternative structures outside of that mode of the two-party system. And whether or not it's to generate some sort of pressure to actually force the hand of Democrats or create a complete alternative party, we have to do something. And it can't just be through electoralism. And so I encourage everyone, get out of your silos. They want us to be paralyzed in fear and they want us to be terrified, thinking that half the country agrees with them. They don't. These are the richest men in the world forcing a false paradigm and false reality down our throats through social media and through their seizure of the narrative. And we have to break out of that and have militant hope and optimism. And that comes with meeting people face to face and living life the way it's meant to be lived, which is outside connecting with nature and connecting with the earth, because that's what we're here to preserve.
And that is happening. That is what's happening. I mean, if you're ever in Wisconsin close to me, welcome to the farm, because this is something that I've been working on, community farm, for a long time. And people are doing it. They're celebrating. You know, in fact, I was just invited to an Earth Day event here in the area. And so we'll see. Maybe we can pitch the movie. Maybe we can get it going.
Perfect.
For that time, because I know that would be a really great time for people to see it and to keep celebrating. I mean, this is the thing. We don't have to be dire. We know we can see what's happening. You know, a lot of people are like, Dina, how can you do this? How can you keep knowing all these things and it doesn't drive you crazy? And it's because I hold on to my heart. I hold on to my humanity. I look for people like you who are doing the same thing. I champion those people because that's what we can do for one another. And I learned from them. I spent time, I was called to Standing Rock because of the prayers of the people. And it was so incredible to see, to learn from the Indigenous people. I learned from my Black friends, you know, and I refuse to, and, you know, I'm also queer, so that really helps. Talk about being marginalized, you know, especially these days. But, you know, so it helps, but we do need to keep uplifting our humanity because we can win. I think we can
100%. There's billions of us. There's billions
win.
of us, and we all have a stake in this planet. And the thing is, we fight for life and we fight for love. And that's what drives our struggles, our movements, our resilience, our compassion, our humanity. Is the love for the planet, the love for each other. That's what these people have lost. They've come to the darkness. The system's beaten every drop of empathy and humanity out of their souls.
And they
And
brag about it.
adamant. They write about it, they
And
advocate
they
it,
brag about
they
it.
admit it, and it's sick and it's perverse. And that's what will make them ultimately lose. The
And
colonizer can't crush the liberated spirit.
no, and it's coming. I mean, look what Bad Bunny did for the Super Bowl. Maybe you didn't want to watch the football game. I'm not a football, but I was so thrilled to see, you know, people, Puerto Rican people, talking about what it, the impact it had on them, and looking at having it broken down to see that celebration. It's very powerful stuff. And what did he say? Love is greater. That's not new. He didn't invent that. We all know that. And to say it loud enough and to say it with enough meaning that it, like a tuning fork, you know, it starts to reverberate for people. We don't have to have everybody, but there are so many people sitting on the fence who are just afraid. I know from my generation, they're just afraid. It's like they see their worlds are, you know, their pensions are going, everything, their health is going, everything going. They're scared, you know, and it's like, well, wait, what are you guys doing? You're talking about my America, you know? This is not the America I knew. Well, yes, in fact, it is the America that you knew.
far gone. And the thing is, it's all, you're either in or out. There's no status quo defense anymore. The status quo is death.
Oh,
And
I love
when
that.
you do watch the movie Dena, you'll see that's Biden. I mean, this is Trump is the inevitability of the status quo. This is the normalization of something that is collective madness and insanity. And so that the faster we wake up to that, the quicker we can save the planet, because we can't turn a blind eye anymore. The time is simply not available anymore. So I encourage everyone, if you are scared, don't be. The fear ends when your foot steps out the door and you start connecting with your neighbors and your fellow brothers and sisters in your community, because people are starved for this moment. They're starved for connection and they're starved for the truth. So let's give it to them.
Amen. That is so cool. I love this. I'm so glad we were able to hook up. I want to tell people that you can find and watch the trailer of this film, this incredible film, I'm sure, earthsgreatestenemy.com. If you go to earthsgreatestenemy.com, you can watch the trailer. I have watched it several times, just to get a sense of who you were, who you are, Abby. And also, you're doing a director's tour leading up to Earth Day, and it's also quite extensive. I mean, I'm like, whoa, girl, that's when you're young, you can still do that.
Oh
That's
yeah, trust me.
incredible.
I don't know how young I am anymore, but I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm like, oh God, what did I get myself into? But honestly, Dennett, the reception is motivating me tenfold. Every person I meet that is ready, it inspires me to just keep going, and that is what just drives me, is the hope that I get from people. It's infectious and it's beautiful.
Right.
I'm all in. So join me.
Yes.
EarthGreatestEnemy.com. Let's screen the movie around Earth Day. Reach out to me. Let's do it.
Yeah, sounds really good. So that's what we're going to do. That's
Awesome.
exactly what we're going to do. So, as a member of the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice, I'm hoping that we can create enthusiasm to bring this film throughout our state. To host a screening, you can email the Empire Files, all one word, at gmail.com. And I want to tell you all that this has been changing the narrative, and I think we did a really good job of that. And my guest has been Abby Martin, the director of Earth's Greatest Enemy. And it's a documentary challenging us to rethink the hidden costs of our global military empire and the consequences to the earth and all living. Thank you, Abby. It's been a real pleasure.
That was so fun. Thank you so much, Dina. Good luck with everything. Keep in touch with me.
Oh, yeah, we're going to, sister. Take care.
Good luck.
Bye bye.